So our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 13, which, if you've got a church Bible, is on page 1046. It's Luke chapter 13, and I'm starting at verse 6. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig round it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
When I was 13, I was going to become like him, a professional footballer. He was Jimmy Greaves, still is. He used to look down from my bedroom wall on this poster, and I was sure that he was the one that I wanted to be like. There was only one problem. Nobody ever wanted me in their team. At Pinnerwood Primary School, we used to have what we call playtime. It was actually very serious time when we played football. I was the one who got picked last. And when I got picked, they said, "You go in goal." I said, "But Jimmy Greaves doesn't play in goal. He's a striker for Tottenham and England." They said, "Well, you go in goal." Mr. Etherington, he was the Pinnerwood Primary School football coach. He never picked me either. It was the end of... Even if you hate football, hopefully you can hear the laments, the hearts of this poor little 8-year-old chap who gets the end of year 5, has never been picked in a team other than to be goalkeeper right at the end. Mr. Etherington hasn't even looked at him. So things are desperate. I say to my dad at home, "Dad, by the time I go into school in year 6, can you help me get picked for the school team?" Dad said, "I was waiting for you to ask me." And every weekend that summer, we played football in the garden. And he said to me, "Jonathan, the problem you've got is you're one-legged. You only kick the ball with your left foot. You've got to practice with your right foot." So I was only allowed to kick with my right foot. I got even worse. And then he said, "This is what you've got to do. Keepy uppies. You've got to practice left foot, right foot. I haven't done this for 30 years, so just I'll show you what a keepy uppie is, maybe." Hasn't lost it. Dad said, "We can do this." Long story short, go into year 6. Mr. Etherington picks me for the squad. Once I get into the team against Grimsby Primary, came off the subs bench. We won 13-1. I had a dad who believed in me. He said, "We can do this." He invested in me. Hours that summer and afterwards. You might have the good fortune to have a dad on earth who's like that, who invests in you, who believes in you. I'll tell you this, every single one of us here, we have a heavenly father who invests in you, who says, "We can do this." He wants you, to use the football analogy, he wants you and me in the game. It is so boring watching football, I think. I mean, there's nothing against being in the stands, if you like that sort of thing. But everybody wants to be on the pitch. I wanted to be on the pitch. Jesus wants you and me on the pitch. In his game, which is the greatest endeavor in heaven on earth, it's the sole purpose of the local church. Jesus put it this way. This is what he said. "You did not choose me, but I chose you Not because you were any good. Not because you could do keepy-uppies. I chose you before you were even born and appointed you for what? To go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Jesus is talking about the game that isn't a game. It's the greatest endeavor on earth. To be in his team. God says to you and me this morning as his church, we can do this. Will you join me with your time, your gifts, your money for my kingdom to come, my will to be done here in Peckham or wherever you live on earth as in heaven? And this Vision Sunday, we've got this picture Jesus gives us in Luke 13. If it's not open, would you open it now? Luke chapter 13. He gives us of what it's like when the local church, that's you and me, when we do this. And then Tom, who's our ops director, he's going to come forward and he's going to give you some very practical ideas of what it exactly looks like here at All Saints in this coming year. What our PCC think, that stands for Parochial Church Council. We were talking about this just 3 days ago on Thursday evening. What we think God is calling us to join in with him in terms of our buildings, our budget next year, and the people we employ. And then I'm going to ask you to respond. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to get out your leaf. Did you know this was a leaf? Have you looked at it? You should have been given it. Have you got one of these? And you should also have got a piece of wool. And if you drift off from what I'm saying, you can do this while you're doing it. And I want you to do that. And then at the end, if you agree that Jesus is saying to you, we can do this and build God's kingdom and his church here, I'm going to invite you in the worship time to come forward and to put it on this tree. And Jesus' story, we heard, explains what your part and my part in this great endeavor, this picture he gives us of his church. It's the story, do you remember it, in Luke chapter 13, a very short parable. This, Jesus says, is what it's like when you're involved with him. Here's what a fig tree is meant to look like. There it is. A full of fruit. It's the purpose of fig trees, to go grow trees. Go grow figs. That's what it looks like when it's healthy. No, it is, according to Google Images. It looks like one, Mark, you're dead right. But it is a kind of fig tree. If it isn't, use your imagination. I'm going on to this, Ben. I'm going on to this one. Yeah. But in the story, this is how the fig tree, use your imagination, looks like. From a distance, this tree might look very healthy, but if you come a bit closer, you'll see it's very wobbly. These leaves haven't fallen off because it's autumn. It's because this tree actually is dead. It's fruitless. Its leaves have no life at all. And that's what the tree in Jesus' story is like. That's a tree that's not growing at all. And the owner of the tree looks at it and he says, you're a waste of space. We're going to cut you down. Because I've been coming for 3 years to the vineyard, Luke 13, verse 6, and there's no fruit. The whole purpose of the fig tree is to bear figs. There's no figs on the tree. It's a picture of a church that is going through, if you like, religious motions, but hasn't noticed that the Lord is not here. His spirit is not with us. Because we've just made it into, I don't know, just a human activity. Saying good words and maybe looking okay, but you come close and there's no root and there's no life. A.W. Tozer, he was a great writer and preacher in the last century. He described a church in his day where he said that if the Holy Spirit were to go away from it, 95% of what it was doing
would carry on as normal. He was saying, it's just become a human thing. For God's sake, for the sake of God, Jesus is saying, do not become like this. You are called, I am called to be in Christ, to be rooted in Christ. He is the good soil. But this isn't in good soil. Cut it down. He's basically saying what Mr. Etherington, remember him, school football coach, he said to me, Jonathan, it's fruitless. You're a waste of space. But like I on the football pitch had an advocate. He was my dad. We can do this. So the fig tree, representing you and me in the local church, the fig tree, we have an advocate. In another place, John chapter 15, Jesus told us who that is. My Father, he said, is the gardener. He's your advocate and mine. He's your dad in heaven. And he says, no, no, leave the tree alone. Luke 13, verse 9. You remember? Leave the tree alone. I will look after it. I'm going to invest in it. I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to make sure its roots grow. I'm going to do whatever it takes for this fig tree to be fruitful. And that is what God our Father says to you and me. We're like a tree. We're meant to be fruitful. But apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. But we have an advocate who's invested in us. God the Father sends his Son to die on a cross so that everything which disqualifies us from being connected with God is wiped away. And every day he sends his Holy Spirit to do what Gerline was praying for, that we are equipped to do everything we need to do to be like this, fruitful every day. We, says God, can do this. He's invested in you. Leave it alone. I believe in you. It's what God the Father says. By rights, we should be cut down and taken away from the vineyard. But the gardener says, God the gardener, I'll look after it. And that's what God says to you and to me. This is a picture of God's vineyard, a picture in God's word of his kingdom present on earth. And God isn't like Mr. Etherington, who was a very good teacher, but he'd only choose you if you were good enough. If you could do enough keepy-uppies. Which is fair enough for a football coach. But God chose you and me when we weren't good enough. When there was nothing to commend us. But with the relentless love of a parent for a child, he sees what we could be. All Saints is about joining in with Jesus who's here. His Spirit is with us and he makes all the difference. The difference Jesus makes is he wants to turn a service like this, which could just be a bit of musical theatre, into an invitation from him. He turns a concert of Handel's Messiah in here into a message from him, if we have ears to hear. He turns the visit of the team who've gone to Brixton Prison, who are there right now, into a friendly pastoral visit, into a word of hope from him, who turns you from being an observer in the stands into a player on the pitch for him, who turns every piece of work done in this church from being a job you do as a favour into a calling with him. And who turns every group that's going on next door and in the hall from being a child-minding service or looking after young people, which it isn't, into a teaching time with him where his word and his truth is got out. Jesus' church is good news. We've got a Father in heaven who's invested in you and calls you to get in the team and be a player in the greatest endeavor in life to be fruitful like this. So I'm going to invite Tom up to say, well, exactly what does that look like here at All Saints with some specifics that we as a parochial church council believe Jesus is saying, will you join in with me in this in terms of our money, in terms of our buildings, in terms of our people? Tom.
Thank you very much. Okay, good morning. So I'm the Ops Director here, for those who don't know me, and I'm just going to take this short opportunity just to discuss and kind of make you aware of some stuff that's ongoing throughout the church. There is so much more than the three slides that I'm about to present to you, and I'm very happy to chat to that one-on-one afterwards, but this hopefully gives you a snapshot of all that we're going on at the moment. So the first slide is all about our buildings, so the physical nature of our site. There's a couple of bits that are ongoing at the moment. So the first one, the youth space, which you might have been seeing being built, it's just to the right of the hall. That's for primarily our youth. They're currently meeting in a room that's 10 metres squared, and there's 17 of them, so tiny, tiny space. This space is going to be 33 metres squared, so a huge space for them just to worship God and also have a space to grow in the future. The reason why it's in quotation marks, is that, yes, it is a youth space, but it's also for the wider church. So we're looking for a new name for that. Any ideas, please come and see me. Office purchase, as part of our wider site development, we need to buy off the diocese what was the old vicarage, the house in the middle. You may have heard this has been going on for about 17 years, this saga. I'm pleased to say that this week we had an offer from the diocese that PCC discussed. There are a couple of bits we're going back to them on, but we are ongoing, and hopefully over the next couple of months we will be able to cement that up and transfer ownership to that. So yes, a hallelujah for that. That is a hallelujah. The football cage, you may have seen it parked in the car park. Through some amazing work with Andy Blacknell and his relationships with the church up in Peterborough and several other people as well, we've managed to get hold of a football cage for our youth to play in. We're going to be tarmacking that horrible muddy patch out the front, just over there, and we're going to be putting that up there as a kind of a semi-permanent fixture. So watch the space on that. And the wall and drains, some very practical detail stuff here. The drains are being repaired and the wall's being repaired out the front as well. So that is a hallelujah, but it's kind of hidden away. Some stuff in the future for our buildings. So a fence for the wall outside, and this one is kind of new for most people. So we have spent years obviously breaking down the barrier out there, inviting people in. Unfortunately, the police and also the local residents have highlighted that it can contribute a bit to public nuisance. So we're looking for an innovative solution to make sure that we don't just put up a massive chain link fence again, but have something artistic, something inviting, and something as part of Peckham, which also means we don't have a 500-seat bar right out front us, out the front. So watch space on that. And then next year, or over the next couple of years, of course, we're moving our site development to the planning stage. Again, more details, please come and have a chat with me after this. The next slide is all about our people. So if you look at our budget, our number one expense is the staff team, which I'm very grateful for because I'm one of them. But we have had several changes to our staff team. So Andrew Unger, who I'm sure many of you have seen, our new children's pastor, has joined us. And Bethany Johnson, who comes to the evening service majority of the time, has joined the team as our new church administrator. Our youth pastor obviously is a vacancy. I'm pleased to say, some of you may realise, that we've actually got interviews going on right now. So they're happening over in the church office. So watch this space, and prayers for maybe if they are the right guys to join us. And then Jenny and Abby have obviously had their roles change, with Jenny becoming associate vicar and Abby moving from the internship scheme into a children and student worker, and kind of also having a specific person on the staff team looking after and encouraging students. Moving forward, being fruitful together. That was meant to be the staff team and also the congregation working together, playing into Jonathan's parable, and also for us turning a staff team to something as a mentality that we will support the church. You know, the Messiah is an amazing example of this. It was a vision of a church member, and hopefully the staff supported in that. And we'd love to see more and more events like that. And then the last slide is our finances. So 2017, our forecast, it's all gone a bit, little bit formatting, but our income is forecast to be 491,000 and our expenditure is about 485,000. That gives us about a £5,000 surplus. PCC decided last Thursday that surplus is going to go to our external giving committee, that's the EGC acronym, who deliver our 10% of our income to overseas mission or within the UK as well, and to make sure that we maintain 10% of what we receive goes out. And then for 2018, our aspirational income has gone up through several changes, primarily Jenny coming on board as a new member of staff, and we have increased as well the amount of money we give to the wider Church of England, has meant that we have increased our budget from 503 to 518. And our projected expenditure at the moment is 517. So the big message from me at the moment is, if you can consider it, and this is obviously only if you can, and I'm sure Jonathan will repeat this afterwards, please just see whether or not if you can give an extra £10 per month. That is the how can you support bit that is below the slide. So it was on there, it's just kind of dropped off the edge. Again, with any of this, thanks for listening. And if there's anything you want to talk about or catch up in detail, please just come and grab me or just phone the office and I'll be happy to speak to you. Thanks very much. Jonathan.
So as I said earlier, when you came into church, you received a leaf. And this leaf is a leaf of life. You can't get fruit on a tree unless there are leaves first. And this, as we've said, represents the local church, God's church. It's not mine or yours. It's God's church that we want to be fruitful and that you and I have a part to play in. So with your leaf, I'd like you to get a pen. And if you don't have a pen, we've got some pens here. We're very gracious like that. Jenny, would you mind, or anybody, would you mind just getting out some pens? And here's what I'm going to invite you to do. The first bit, it is very easy. If you are a part of the tree, who is God's tree, God's church, and you want to be, and you indeed, you are a part of what God's growing, just write your name. It can be your first name, if you like. Write your name. This is your way of saying, I have heard Jesus' call, and I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. And I believe all this. Graham, would you mind putting up the finance thing at the back? I believe all of this is, he was probably blessed by God as well. If you want to invest in what God is growing at All Saints, just write your name, just your first name, on the leaf. Now, here's the thing. Before you do that, you do need to know this. Being a part of the tree means you're involved, you're on the pitch. It is wonderful to be involved, but it is costly. There's some giving to do. That's how God grows his kingdom, through his people who give their hearts to him. Does this make sense? It's through people who give. This is a costly thing. Now, Jesus talks one great deal about giving money. Not everybody has money, and I'm kind of squeamish about talking about money, but Jesus wasn't. To those of us with money, here's Jesus' invitation to us, speaking to our hearts. If you want to be a player with me, what is in your heart? A great deal is said about what's in your heart by what's in your wallet. What you do with your money says a great deal about what your priorities are. As a PCC, as Tom said, we give 10% away. We believe in the blessing of tithing. It goes to God's work all around the world. John and Lucy Hopkins are here. They're two of our All Saints around the world. And we want to so invest in what they're doing with U-Turn in South Africa. And lots of other people, like Ruth in Lebanon, who a team of six went to last week. We're hearing from them in 2 weeks. We want to give away money because Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. Jesus is asking you and me, what are you willing to give in terms of money to my work? Speaking as a miser myself, Jesus really needed to change my heart to believe that giving a tithe, that's one-tenth, is a blessing. It is. My experience is that it is a blessing to sow into God's work. Jesus speaks more about what you do with your money and your possessions than anything else, because he knows that certainly speaking personally, I just love to hang on to money. But put your name on the leaf if you're willing to put your money where your mouth is, if you're willing to give and to ask God, God, what are you calling me to give you this coming year? If everybody connected to this church stopped buying one Costa coffee, there are many other kinds of coffee that are equally expensive available, one coffee a week, and could give, that means an extra £10 a month, our
budget, which is 15,000 more than last year, could be met. Someone here might be able to give a one-off gift, for example, towards the new youth space, which we've just received on Friday, a grant of 4,000, but there's another 14,000 to pay for it. So if you feel moved by this, but you've no idea how to give or what a standing order is or a gift aid form, just put your contact details underneath your name of a way that we can contact you so we can help you to give the money that God's put on your heart to give. But somebody will say rightly, but Jonathan, it's not just about giving money. You're dead right, it isn't. If people didn't give any time here, thousands and thousands of unpaid person hours, all saints would close. So if you can't give money, for example, because you're in debt, which God wants to release you from, you can give your time and your gifts. Put your name on a leaf, and if you want help to know how to use your time and your gifts, put your contact details on it. Does this make sense? If you need help to give your money, or you need help to give your time or your gifts, put your contact details on, email or phone, and somebody from the office will phone you in the next week. But so many of you are already giving, and it's because Jesus has put on your heart that he's chosen you and appointed you to bear fruit. In a moment, I'm going to invite you, if that's you, you want to be a part of what God's doing, to put your name on the tree. But I finish with this. I take in my job quite a number of funerals, and I'm struck by what those left behind remember and cherish and miss about the person who's died. And whether they're Christians or non-Christians, it's always the love, the joy, the peace, what they were blessed by, what the person they've lost gave to them. Not what they've achieved or earned, but what they gave. And at the funeral of someone like Mavis just the other day, we celebrated this fruit of their lives, which was the character of Jesus coming out through them. At the end of your life, what's going to be missed and cherished and thanked God for is every way Jesus worked out his love, his joy, his patience, his goodness, his kindness, his character to you, who he chose to play on his field. And we could say, oh God, I have not got any joy. I have not got any love. I am just like a fruitless fig tree. And good news, you and I have an advocate who is there to heal you, who's invested in you, who's done it on the cross, who's doing it every day, whose Holy Spirit is there for you. He invites you to get in the game and to give simply your fruitless branches, because he is a specialist at bringing life out of the grave. He brings fruit out of fruitless branches. He brings love when there's none left. Would you please stand? If you haven't written your name on the leaf and you want to, you can do it now. If you'd really like some help to know what exactly it means to give money, to give time, to give gifts, just put a contact number there. And as the worship bands come forward to lead us in a time of worship before we come together, I'm going to pray for us. Lord God, apart from you, we're like a fruitless branch or a tree without roots. But you're the gardener. You're the Lord. You're the Redeemer, who on a cross wiped every disqualification, every bit of fruitlessness, every cause for shame. Thank you that you invite us into your life. You invite us to be part of the tree you are cultivating. Would you please use us, whether we have a lot or a little, just use us. Help us to get in the game. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.